I'm Alex. I'm a compulsive eater, gratefully in recovery, one day at a time. And I am so blessed to be here, you guys. Thank you so much for asking me to speak today, of all days. It's just, so I'll qualify first. I'll just tell a little bit about who I am and what brought me to OA in the first place. I've always been a compulsive eater. I just didn't realize that compulsive eating was a disease. I grew up in an alcoholic home. Family was just riddled with alcoholism and various stages of recovery. So I learned a lot about alcoholism growing up. And I mean, everybody thought I was destined to be the queen of alcoholics, the way I was brought up and the way I reacted to the world around me. But really, it was never about alcohol for me. That was definitely a symptom later on when I got older. But as a child, I didn't know what alcohol was, or drugs, or smoking, or any other sort of compulsive behavior. All I knew was food. And that, I mean, we had everything we needed. I didn't lack for anything in my home. You know, we weren't rich, but we weren't poor either. So there was always enough food, but I was always furtively, like, putting food away for myself and hiding food and trying to hopefully get take things out of the pantry that my mom wouldn't miss, or babysitting the cats next door when the neighbors were away. I would go into their pantry and steal from them. Like, I actually stole food, and I would dig food out of our garbage just to make sure, because I mean, why waste it? Like, it was just I was the epitome of a compulsive eater. But it wasn't a disease. It was just what I did. You know, I mean, I could see the compulsive behaviors in alcoholism, but nobody ever, it didn't make sense. And as I got older, I learned more about food disorders, and I was well aware of, like, anorexia and bulimia, and I recognized that as a disorder. But the compulsive eating, you know, it's like telling the alcoholic, right? Oh, come on, just stop drinking. You know, you just put it away, right? That's kind of what I said to myself. Like, it wasn't really, I didn't see it as a problem. When I was 2009, my life had just sort of ground to a halt. I became chronically ill, and everything in my life just stopped. I had to socially isolate from that day forward. Since 2009, I've only ever gone out for essential shopping and doctor's appointments. Anything more than that, I can get really ill, and it doesn't kill me, but it takes a lot out of my reserves. So it's not something that I do comfortably or easily. It has to be really important to risk putting myself, my health, in that kind of risk. And, but of course that just served to further isolate me in this disease, and put me further and further away. And at that point, I went into severe depression. Eating was going to be my relief. It was the way I wanted to leave this world, is just to eat myself to death. And I remember consciously doing that in Nova Scotia, where I live here in Canada. When a big storm comes in, everybody goes out and buys big packages of those easily eaten items. Right? They're called the storm things, right? And it's a big thing here. And so I thought, oh, this is brilliant. You know, every storm I would be out there with my grocery cart piled full, just like, along with, I mean, the shelves are empty before a storm. The problem was, there wasn't enough storms for me here in Nova Scotia. So I started saying, well, I need therapy ones too, right? Like, I need these for my therapy. I actually convinced my kids to walk up to the shops for me, because I couldn't even walk anymore, to walk up to the shops for me to get me my therapy items so that they could bring home. And they actually believed me, because that's what I had taught them. Like, so my grandmother died in 2018, my Nana, and I was here on the other side of the country watching her funeral service through, like, satellite, through video thing. And somebody got up during her eulogy and spoke about my Nana's love of daily readers. And I remembered something that my real kind of moment, my connection with Nana, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, And she had given me a card. And on this card, it's like a wallet card. And on the card, it had like all these beautiful things that you could do every day to better yourself. And I'd lost the card over the years, but suddenly it was really important for me to find this card to reconnect with my Nana. So I did. And I started searching for this card. And that brought me to recovery websites, of course. And I learned more and more and more about myself over the next few days. And after 4 days, I suddenly realized, oh, I'm an alcoholic. I have all the behaviors. And marched myself off to my first AA meeting thinking, like, that's what's wrong with me. I am the alcoholic that everybody thought I was going to become because the behaviors were there. But after a week in AA, and I'm sitting there after a birthday party, my cheeks full of food, chomping away on these foods, trying to hide the gluttony and the you know, from everybody else at the meeting. And I'm looking around at all the slogans up on the wall, and my eyes drop down, and there's a poster, and it said, "Are you an overeater?" And that was my moment. That's when everything clicked. Everything came back, came together. I realized, that's me. I'm an overeater. And that was in the moment. I didn't know overeating was an alcoholism, like a type of, I didn't know until that moment. But everything in that moment told me that's exactly what I am. And there's never been any doubt in my head of that's what I am. And my life was so unmanaged, like unmanageable. And I was so powerless. I was so desperate for that recovery that I just hit the ground running. And the meeting, the Overeaters Anonymous meeting, was in the same room the very next day. And I was there, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to start this Overeaters Anonymous program. And I sat there at the meeting and I started to cry because it was my Nana's birthday. And I just feel like my Nana had reached out in the ethers and had said, managed to get me to where I needed to be. And months later, I actually did get, somebody gave me one of those cards from Overeaters Anonymous that was the For Today, which was what my Nana had originally given me. Anyways, so hit the ground running, and I started once a week meetings face to face were physically really hard for me to go to. So I went and looked, and I found online meetings, but there was no Zoom meetings at that point. They were all, the one I found was like all chat type. Typing meetings, you typed everybody, right? So furtively typing your share every day and stuff like that. And they had about 7 meetings a day. And that's what I found I needed the first few weeks when I was letting go of my first foods that I started my abstinence with. It was like jonesing. It was like giving up cigarettes or giving up anything else. It was just like, oh, I get to a meeting and that's all I could do was just scramble to this next meeting and then get to the next one. And then I think it took me about 10 days to lead my first meeting because that's kind of what I love to do anyways in my life. So I started leading, and within a month I was an intergroup rep on 12 Step for Codes is where this was, right? And they got put me on an ad hoc committee to go because they were exploring video options for their business meetings. And we tried WhatsApp, we tried Skype, we tried Google things, but then we found Zoom. And I swear, when I went into the Zoom meeting, it was like a cathedral. It was so easy. And I knew it was so accessible to everybody. Like, we had people that, you know, in the dark ages, technology-wise, and other people that are, you know, really proficient, but we needed something a platform that anybody could get onto. And I was like, oh my God, we could have a meeting on this. We could do meetings. And I went back to the intergroup and I said, oh, can I do a meeting on this? And they went, no. And they would have had to change all their bylaws and do all sorts of things differently. And they just basically said no. And I was so crestfallen that day. I walked away just so dejected and so heartbroken. And then I sort of said to my pals, well, couldn't we just have a meeting on Zoom? Just like a few of us. And so we did. And on April 14th, 2019, 3 of us got together for the first time on Zoom. And you have to remember, we'd only ever typed at each other. We talked on WhatsApp together, but we'd never videoed ever before. So we'd never seen each other's faces, really. And the first time we came in, we saw each other for the first time. And I cried this entire hour. I just cried. It was just like they were my family, and I hadn't never even seen their faces really before. And then we pulled out. Yeah, I today actually dawned on me because I was at another meeting and we read both For Today and Voices of Recovery, and I just wonder where we would have been if we'd read For Today. You know, it's not. It's a beautiful reading today, but maybe not quite as a higher power just had a hand in this from the start, because I picked up my Voices of Recovery and started reading the reading that Renee read today. And I that first few lines, we gratefully follow in the footsteps of many who have walked before us, and we're gratified to be making footprints of our own for others to follow. And I just started bawling again. I said, you guys, that's the name of our meeting. We can call ourselves OA Footsteps. Meeting. Just one meeting. That's what's going to be our. So within the next few weeks, we had a few other meetings start up on the same platform. The 2-2, what is it? 2-2-2, the first one. And we had a few other meetings start up because people just thought, oh, wow, this is so much fun. I could do a Sunday meeting and I could do a Friday afternoon meeting, a Tuesday. So we had about four meetings within about 10 days. And it was about 3 months later. I think it was somebody from the old intergroup. I'm not sure exactly. Kind of a little cranky with me, was saying, so when are you going to actually apply to be an intergroup? And when are you going to register your meetings? Like, I didn't know how to do any of that. I was only 7 months into program and I didn't understand any of this. Like, it was all new. So those first year was really just on a wing and a prayer of trying to piece together what we needed to do to help support this. And it, but whatever we did, and it wasn't just me at this point. I mean, I did put a lot of work into it, but we did have others that were very much involved in those early days as well. We were in place in time for COVID. And when COVID hit, we were probably the one intergroup on the planet that was established on Zoom with the scripts, with the security, with the leadership training in place. We had all of these different pieces that were just, and I think that really more than anything is what contributed to our growth, that just grew exponentially at that point with everybody that came in. We were just so blessed too by the amount of people that came in and put their hearts into this and have continued to put their hearts into it. We have people that are still there that'll be talking at our birthday party later that are still here and still very present and very much a part of Footsteps. And they were just as much a part of the brick and mortar that went into building this as anybody, as myself. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I just one step in front of the other and learning as I go. And, our website, I do know a little bit about web design, but I wanted to keep it simple. So our first website was actually built on a Word program that saved to HTML and put up. And now we've got this incredible website. We have over anywhere from 700 to over 1,000 people visiting our website every single day. It's amazing the amount of numbers that we're impacting. We also have, we just had a decision go through our virtual intergroup business meeting to include other virtual region intergroups on our schedule, the focus groups like young people, right? Or language intergroups, like there's a Greek one that's associated with virtual region, that we would put their meetings also on our schedule. So our members benefit, our young people would see those meetings, but the intergroups would benefit from the amount of traffic that we're able to bring into Footsteps and share that with others in recovery so that they can find the recovery that they need. What else? I've got a list here of just the 1,000 people per day. We have over 170 meetings per week. That's almost a meeting every single hour now on the OA Footsteps calendar. And that's not including all the other people that have joined us that have their own platforms as well. And, you know, different affiliated meetings with us. And now, of course, the other intergroups. We are sending 9 of our 12, we could send up to 12. We're sending 9 delegates to Albuquerque, New Mexico next week for the World Service Business Conference to represent OA Footsteps. And I am so proud of Footsteps as a whole, that we've been able to put that forward and that we're able to support them going.
Hey, Alex.
Yep.
15 down, 5 to go.
Thank you so much. Okay. Okay. So then, what else? Oh, I really wanted to talk about all the footsteps that have put into this, and currently all of these amazing committees that we have. One of my favorite words, even before I found program, is community, but as two words, come unity, right? Welcoming unity, right? And I think that our community of committees, right, is astounding. You know, across the board, we have people like Martine from Languages. We have, I didn't want to miss anybody out. So we've got our Milestone Committee has been there since the start. From the very first meeting, we talked about that we wanted to send out, like we wanted it to feel like a face-to-face meeting. So we sent out milestone chips to anyone, anywhere in the world for free. Right? That is just part of what Footsteps does. And we've always done that. We support that with our seventh tradition. We actually have a literature committee now that will help members with literature. Somebody unmuted there, I think. We have a newly amalgamated 12-step within committee, and they're pulling in and all the resources into like a central hub, which was originally our sponsor committee, sponsorship committee, workshops, fun and fellowship. 12 Step Within is pulling it all together, and they're offering step study workshops coming up. So make sure you guys sign up for that if you're interested in that. And of course, they put on this amazing birthday party that's taking place right after this meeting. We'll make sure you guys get linked to it if anybody wants to join us for the party. It's looking amazing. Oh my God. We've got the language committee. That's one of my pet babies that I'm so excited about. And I'm so glad I got Martine on board for this, because we'd gotten the Arabic meeting, which is so exciting. But now we have French, we have German, Claudia, and we've got a Spanish one, I think, in the works very soon. And we've been able to get translation on the site in different ways. And I'm just, it's just so exciting. We've got PIPO, which is about getting the message out there and working on various projects. We've got the podcast. We've got the web team. Security. We have the best security in OA. Like, honestly, I can say that. Like, I mean, there's others that are good, but our security team does these amazing workshops, and they're willing to go to any intergroup anywhere on the planet via Zoom to help with their security. So they're just so amazing. Bylaws. They just did a phenomenal job of like, okay, so we were learning the first time around when we made our first bylaws. Actually, I saw our statement of purpose, which was even original to that. We've definitely come a long way since then. We have an information committee, which is all about being available to newcomers that reach out to us via our phone lines or our information email. Which is an amazing service, and we desperately need people. So if you're interested in working with newcomers, come talk to me. I have service opportunities out my yin yang. You can have this, like, there's just so much available for everybody. And I encourage you guys to come talk to me. Let's figure out what your passion is and put you to work, because it's so rewarding to be around that. I think that's everything. I don't want to miss anybody, because everybody is so important. But last I want to say is, I'll get the links and put them in the chat, is our Experience, Strength, and Hope newsletter, which currently comes out quarterly. It came out this morning, and we have some great articles in that. We're also looking for further contributors. So if you're interested at all, please reach out to esh@oafootsteps.com, because it's just such a fun committee to be on, and it's really rewarding to see the thing there. So I'll post the link to the newsletter, which came out this morning. And I think I think that's me. My cat's telling me it's time to go outside. So I think that's probably going to be my winding up. How much?
Alex, you got 15 seconds left, but you could go a little longer if you want to say some more.
No, I think that's me. I think I timed that pretty good. So, my last thing was apparently I just as a point of interest, last year I did a similar thing. I went around and spoke at a number of meetings, and all day I used one of those Zoom, things where you can add a filter. And I put on this, what I thought was an amazing little party hat. And I went around and spoke at 5 meetings with my party hat on. And it turned out that it wasn't a party hat. Oops, I just turned my video off. I didn't mean to do that. It turned out it wasn't a party hat at all. It was a piece of pizza. And I went all day as the founder of Footsteps wearing this so-called thing on my head. So this year, I promise you, I went out and invested in an actual party hat so that I don't have to, which I'll be wearing at the party the next. So, and I think that's me. I'm so grateful to be here, you guys. None of this, I might have been there at that first meeting and worked at this, but so many other people worked at it too. So many footsteps have gone into where we are today. And every single one of you, everybody here, is part of those steps going forward. You know, even if this is your first day, you too are making steps that other people will follow. Like, we're all part of this, something that's so much bigger than ourselves. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of that process. And thank you. And I love you all. And thanks for having me.